This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar, loved by my two personal favorites, I might add, the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. Is all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to bring in Dave Spadaro. Dave, first of all, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
All right. So you can only play who's in front of you. And Philadelphia's playing people in front of them, and they are winning, which is terrific. When you look at style of play, do you like the style of play that's allowing them to win, or are there a couple things that they need to take care of once they get to something that might be perceived as a tougher opponent, like, say, even Washington this week?
I like going from minus six in turnover ratio to plus one.
Yep, that's
how about
huge.
That for, how about
that's
that for
gigantic. Yeah. That's huge.
I mean, that's kind of the whole story, right? Like, you don't give the football away and expect to win. When you win the turnover battle in the NFL, it is such an overwhelming piece of good statistical data. I like the way they're playing in the red zone. I like the balance on offense. The run game has been really dominant. And they've been, look, I get your question. And the real question is, are the Eagles for real? And is Thursday night the real test of how good they are?
Yeah.
Is kind of what you really want to say.
Well,
because
let me
they've
ask
beaten
you this.
Five lousy teams and in this five-game win streak, and how much does that really mean? Well, I don't know. But I think Washington's very good. And I think the Eagles have beaten who's in front of them, and they've done a convincing job, and I think that this football team is also very good. So I don't think there's a lot of there's just not a lot of really great teams in the NFL. I think everybody's either really okay or lousy.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the way it is.
I totally agree with that answer, because I've always said, hey, look, the NFL's not a beauty contest. It's about, okay, results. I don't care who's in front of you. You win five in a row. Guess what? Those are wins. Bang, 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 bang. You go from there. You got to see Saquon Barkley twice a year in person. What's it like now for you to watch him every week?
It's an edge of your seat, what's next kind of experience. The guy's awesome. He is a complete back. And we were talking about it the other day. Is this small sample size enough to convince you that Saquon is the best running back that you've ever seen with the Eagles? And I really can't go that far because, I mean, since I've been with the Eagles, it's been like Herschel Walker and, you know, Brian Westbrook and Deuce Staley and Brian and LaShawn McCoy and Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift and blah, 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 blah. And like, but this guy is just, he does it in such spectacular fashion. He can also just wear you out, grind you down, and does it as a pass catcher too. And I really, really enjoy watching him play. I think he is. And the thing is, everybody knows that he's getting the football, and he still drags his defenders along 3, 4, 5 yards. So he is every bit what I hoped he would be, and probably even more. I've been blessed to watch a lot of great Eagles running backs, and Saquon in a matter of 9 games has shown that he is right there among the very best.
Right. The backwards leap. So I'll tell you a quick story about that.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. We're at practice. Penn State will practice on Sunday night. They take Monday off. So Kenny Sanders, who's in the recruiting department, comes over to us at practice. He said, "Hey, did you check out what Saquon did?" So I was standing there with two of the team doctors, Wayne Sebastianelli and Greg Billy. And he says, "Let me show you on the phone." And you remember the first part of the run, Dave, is the spin move?
Oh, yeah, which was an incredible move in itself.
Right. And Dr. Greg Billy says, "Wow, what a move." And Kenny looks at me and says, "Wait."
Oh, that's a great story. Yeah, I mean, that was insane. I mean, that was just instinctive and powerful and explosive and otherworldly. And the fact that he didn't get just tattooed made it even better. But it was remarkable. And the guy is just everything. And I think what's so interesting about him, when he makes a mistake, you drop the pass against Atlanta, and you go, "Oh my God, he dropped the ball. Saquon Barkley just made a mistake."
Right.
And that's how good he is, because he's so good that you've forgotten that he's human.
Has he made Jalen Hurts just by presence even a little bit better at quarterback?
I think so. I think that he has taken the pressure to do a lot off of Jalen's. But I think when Jalen gets into trouble, he feels like he has to carry everything, and consequently you see him force throws or at times hold the ball too long, or just throw the ball away, live for another play. You got Saquon Barkley back there. He made a play last week against Dallas, third and whatever it was, 8 or 9 or something. Swing pass out to the left side. He catches the ball around the 18-19 yard line. And nobody talked about it, but he made his way, picked and bobbed and spun and powered and made his way down to the 1 yard line against like 5 defenders. And it's become routine for Saquon Barkley. And this was a remarkable play. And on the heels of the reverse leap, nobody tended to it.
Dave, you made a really interesting statement, which, by the way, I agree with, about there appear to be some good teams and then okay to lousy teams.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the
really,
you know,
weird
the
league.
Yeah, you know the league like the back of your hand. Why? Why has it turned out this way, in your opinion, just watching, and not just the, I mean, I'm talking about the other teams that you watch. Why?
I would probably point to quarterback play that has not gone to the next level. Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, Deshaun Watson, Cleveland, Daniel Jones, New York. No Dak Prescott, bad quarterback tandem, and Cooper Rush and Trey Lance. You know, there's just this league is so quarterback driven, and when you don't play, in the preseason. So the play through September is what preseason should be. So you're going to get uneven play there. And then there's just doesn't seem like there's a lot of great ones out there, or a lot of good ones out there. And there's a lot of really crappy ones. And those teams I just mentioned have really bad quarterback situations. And the league is already struggling to score points. The defense in a lot of ways is caught up to the offense already. Witness the struggles the Eagles have with the brotherly shove. Yeah. Which they continue to go to, even though the margins have gone down a little bit. But the defense kind of caught up to what the Eagles are doing there.
Sure.
And I think defenses catch up to offenses inherently. That's why they keep changing the rules. And if you don't have really good quarterback play, you don't score points. And when you look team to team to team, there's not a lot of really good quarterback play. And that's why I think Washington has taken its big leap.
Yeah.
They believe in Jaden Daniels. He's been outstanding with his decision-making, his poise, his athletic ability, his accuracy. They've gotten a bit of luck with the Hail Mary, et cetera. But they're riding the leadership of Jaden Daniels, and that just goes to show what a quarterback does for an NFL team. And it's just not been consistent across the board.
Yeah, there are three things I came to, Dave, and tell me if I'm off base on any of them. Number one, the prevalence on cover two. Number two, the inability of quality quarterbacks that can be cover two. And number three, the inability of offensive lines to protect quarterbacks that would give them a better shot at beating cover two. Am I right or wrong on that?
My only argument with this is that they've been playing cover two for forever. Yeah. So it's not like the concepts have changed defensively.
Yeah, good point.
I do think the offensive lines are not as good as they used to be. There are a lot of injuries. I mean, the Eagles are blessed to have depth and have, over the years, just consistently addressed offensive line. It's interesting. Like, this is like such a small nugget of nothing that nobody cares about. But, you know, depth coming into the season for the O-line for the Eagles was like, wow, boy, who are these guys? And when they were able to get back Jack Driscoll, who went to Miami in free agency, didn't make it down there, like, Jeff Stoutland was so happy that he got somebody back that can play multiple positions, that he can plug in, that knows what he wants. It was just such a, and he hasn't really played that much, and he hasn't made a huge, you know, investment in the team or contribution to the team, but it was just an indication to me, like, wow, is it that hard to find offensive linemen? Or a defensive lineman so good, or they're bringing such exotic blitz packages. But it could be the cover two. Why the cover two now, though, Steve, versus when Tampa Bay was winning Super Bowls with it, and it was, you know, Derek Brooks, a linebacker, and a great secondary that they had.
Yeah. Good points.
I don't know. I always feel like a quarterback. I just think, I look at the Eagles, and when Jalen Hurts doesn't turn the ball over, this team beats anybody. When he turns the ball over, they're leading 7-6 late in the second quarter against an absolutely awful Dallas Cowboys team.
Right.
And so I kind of extrapolate that and project that to the rest of the league.
By the way, I know Dak Prescott, so I understand that as a preface to the question. But why is Dallas awful?
Oh, they're terrible. Well, Jerry hasn't invested in the team. I mean, how do you ignore the running back position as he has?
No question.
They've had some injuries on defense, and generally they have a pretty good defense. But even when their defense was healthy, it was like boom or bust the last few years. They've given up so many yards on the ground. The Dallas Cowboys show of shows where the circus is more important than the substance has, in my opinion, caught up to the Dallas Cowboys.
Good point. Dave, now I want to get to the defense. You talked about the plus six. We're not going to be a plus six unless a couple things happen. A, you're taking care of the ball, which you've addressed, but you're also taking the ball. What's made the Eagles' defense better, more effective, in your opinion?
For the first time, Steve, I've looked this up, I mean, forever, they're getting these giant contributions from their draft class.
Yeah.
And, you know, Eric Allen back in 1988, I had an afro back then. I mean, I had weed. My hair was like, parted down the middle and like wings, like beautiful. Eric Allen came in and started as a rookie game one. Quinyon Mitchell did that this year, and then Cooper DeJean comes in and shores up a really, really large hole at nickel because Avante Maddox, who I love, was just getting overmatched. Mm-hmm. But Cooper DeJean is 6'1", 198, younger, faster, stronger, bigger, has done a great job at nickel cornerback. Start there. Add in some playmakers at linebacker that they haven't had. They've been interchanging their linebackers and just piecemealing it together. But now you've got a healthy N'Kobe Dean. You've got Zach Bond, the free agent find of the year, along with Saquon Barkley. That has allowed Vic Fangio to really settle in with his back seven, and then the front four can go after a little bit. So that to me, and again, I mean, this is why tomorrow night's so crucial. I give the defense a ton of credit, but I also acknowledge Deshaun Watson, Daniel Jones, you know, just a litany of you know, Joe Burrow, very good quarterback.
Yes.
And then you come back with Trevor Lawrence, who's just regressed tremendously, and then Sunday in Dallas.
Yeah.
That now the Eagles are what, second and third in many defensive categories. It's unbelievable. So tomorrow night is so critical for the defense.
Yeah, no question about that.
These rookies, Steve, these rookies are the real deal.
Yeah,
John Mitchell and Cooper DeJean are the real deal, and you will hear down the line from Jalik Hunt and Will Shipley and all these. Johnny Wilson catches his first touchdown pass. This draft class has been really, really good.
I mean, look, DeJean, I thought, would translate really well to the NFL because, Dave, I had the advantage of seeing him on an every-year basis playing against Penn State. And the guy, you know, I just looked at him and said, that guy is an NFL player. Whoever gets him is going to get a gem. Mitchell, I never saw. So now you see him, and when I watched him on TV, I said, man, for a kid, he's a lockdown guy. That's just opinion watching from afar. Eyes on sight are better. When you watch him play on sight, you know, what are you seeing that makes him somebody that could be a long, long-term shutdown guy in this league?
You know, he doesn't cheat his eyes. He's not greedy. And what I mean by that, he's not shooting his eyes into the quarterback, into the backfield, to try to find a little cheat to go get an interception. He sticks with his assignment. He's very, very good on his technique. He takes direction from the veteran quarterback, Darius Slay, for example, that really have helped him a lot. He's a sponge, and he's a humble kid. He doesn't talk at all except when he's on the field, and he just goes out and does his job. He's athletic enough to run with everybody. He's big and strong enough to mix it up, not afraid to lend a hand in supporting the run. So the one game where he really kind of got picked on a little bit was the Atlanta game, that last drive. They kind of went after Mitchell, and they scored the touchdown. They beat the Eagles. Abject depression. He really has come a long way since then, learned from that. And his recovery speed on deep balls is a thing of beauty. I mean, you know, they have tested him deep, and he has been right on it and using that arm bar expertly, that little veteran move to lock up the receiver's arms. I mean, it's impressive stuff. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see what he does when he gets the first interception. See what he does with football in his hands. But this moment has not been too big for him, which is pretty amazing for a kid from Toledo playing in his rookie season.
Yeah, well, he may have to wait for that first interception because you actually had to throw the ball at him. I'd be hesitant to throw it over there against him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think he's playing that well. You know, I have to ask you another sidebar question. That's about the officiating, which gets a lot of scrutiny along the way. It feels like, and it's only a perception, but it feels like every third play there's a flag down on the play, something like that. Is that a product of guys not playing in the preseason where they can establish the ground rules then? Or is it just a product of maybe not enough officials who have a feel for the game? Or just the fact that guys are just out there making a ton of mistakes? What is it, in your opinion?
I would have to look at the raw numbers, the real data, and see if, in fact, there are more flags per game. I don't know that answer because, as you say, it's a perception. It does feel that way a lot of times. It really is disruptive. I think we've probably had this conversation in the past. I mean, I feel like I always feel that way about officials.
Sorry,
I don't like
that.
Officials being involved in the game of football at all.
Right.
So it's a hard question to answer. It certainly feels that way, but I probably would argue that it felt that way in years past.
That's fair. No, that's a fair answer. I understand that. How do you feel on this team in this moment, Nick Sirianni's been with this team?
really, on the battlefield, still standing tall, being, you know, surrounded by those who are ready to attack, labeled as the lame duck at the beginning of the season, the coach on the hot seat, The one who's, you know, that guy I don't trust, Nick Sirianni. What is he doing making all these third and fourth down calls? And he's going to cost the Eagles games. And I hear all that, and yet, you know, they're 7-2, mm-hmm. in first place in the NFC East, home game against Washington tomorrow. The players play hard for him. 2-2, he kind of loses it a little bit, shaves his head. People wondering what the heck's going on with Nick Sirianni. The players rallied around the head coach.
Right.
And all I read about in the NFL and hear is that this team's not doing well and that coach is going to get fired and, whoops, there goes the offensive coordinator, or that quarterback's getting benched, mm-hmm. or, well, that doesn't happen in Philly. And all the Eagles keep doing is winning. And they came into the season very aware that they had collapsed like a deck of cards last year after a 10-1 start. And by golly, they're 7-2 and surging, and only the Kansas City Chiefs are hotter than the Philadelphia Eagles. And that credit goes to Nick Sirianni. And I think that having lived in the days of Buddy Ryan, when Buddy Ryan was the lightning rod for the football team, the willing lightning rod, took all the pressure off the players, in a way that's kind of happened here. And Nick has become the lightning rod and gladly doing it. And here the Eagles are with a big game nationally televised on Thursday night. And a win would give them a two-game lead in the loss column in the NFC East with seven to go. And that's, you know, and they've changed their style of play.
Yeah.
They've made adjustments. He lets his coaches do their job. He lets his players thrive. You don't hear people complaining about Nick Sirianni ever. And so I think Nick Sirianni's done a very, very, very impressive job in his 3+ seasons here with the Philadelphia Eagles. The track record, the wins and losses, which all that matters, speaks the case for him.
32 fan bases. Probably only Kansas City and Detroit right now would be happier. How about that?
You know? That's not a bad way of putting it. Maybe Buffalo. Maybe Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo would be thrilled, too. I think because they weren't sure with the wide receivers. So they've got to be thrilled where they are, too.
And I got to believe, and what makes this so great, I believe Washington.
Yes.
They're winning for the first time, and they're feeling great. And this is a big game, and Washington is for real. And Jaden Daniels is a star in the making.
Yep.
And you wonder if Chicago's feeling Sam Bowie, Michael Jordan-esque a little bit right now.
Oh, listen to you going back in the 1984 NBA draft way back machine. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, why not? I mean, wouldn't you be feeling that a little bit if you're a Bears fan right now?
Absolutely. Dave, total pleasure as always. Thanks so much. I always enjoy the talks.
Hey, let me ask you this, Steve. How real are the Nittany Lions?
Good. Good, and then they're deep. And the reason you can get through a season like this is you have depth. And because they have depth, when they've had guys go down like a K.J. Winston or in a game where Drew Aller got hurt, they had somebody that could step up and play. And I think that's made a big difference when you're trying to navigate a schedule this long. And you know that, seeing the Eagles all the time.
Yeah.
If they didn't have certain guys step up when they needed them in a long season in a physical sport, that's the only way you can get to a good record.
Next time you play Ohio State, take care of Chip Kelly for me, please.
I will.
Knock him off the perch.
I hear you.
Dave,
thanks, buddy. Dave Spadaro joining us this half hour, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make this a November to remember. Sunbury Motors Hyundai received 10 truckloads of new Hyundais, and we need to make room now. Choose from over 55 brand new Hyundai Tucson's with savings over $6,500. Sunbury Motors has the full-size SUV Hyundai Santa Fe discounted up to an unbelievable $6,197 off. Both the Tucson and Santa Fe have financing as low as 0% for 48 months and 1.99%
for 60 months.
Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain. If you want to have a fun day, why not buy a Santa Cruz Hyundai? This nimble pickup starts at $31,340. The Santa Cruz is discounted up to $49.50 with 23 available. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going to save you the most money all year now. 10 truckloads of new Hyundais will make this month a November to remember with your next Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.